Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Well, I have my mouth full of cake.
How is that cake?
It is pretty good. It's a lemon cake. You know, if you listened to the podcast, the last episode, we talked about fat preachers. So you'll have to go back and listen to that.
It inspired you.
It inspired me. So this is a small cake. The reason we're eating, those of you who have it, those of you, we got the camera on. If you can see this, no, we don't have YouTube here.
But there's a reason we're eating cake.
What's the reason?
This is the 100th episode.
The 100th episode.
The 100th episode of this podcast. This is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
It feels like a blur, but it's been amazing.
Revitalize and Replant, 100th episode. And we've done it in like 8 months.
Let's talk about the places we've been. So we started on the couch.
Well, now that sounds a little weird.
At our church, Inglewood.
Okay.
The white couch.
In your church basement.
In our church basement.
That's right.
We started there. You, Dan, and me.
Right.
Then we went, where did we go next?
We went to Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern.
At one
Spurgeon
point.
Library.
Spurgeon Library. And then we went to New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary.
That's right.
And we did it there.
Yep.
And then we came to NAM, North American Mission Board, and we did it here. Then we went back to the Spurgeon Library.
Back to Spurgeon.
And then we're back here.
And then back to NAM.
But we want to go to some other places.
And we've gone to, and then we came back to Denver another time.
Oh, no, we did Denver three times.
Yeah.
We've been to Denver three times.
Yep.
And if anybody from Gateway is listening, we would love to come out to—
Hey, listen, we're waiting for the invite.
We'll come out to Gateway Seminary and do it there.
We need to get to all the seminaries.
Yeah. You invite us, we'll come. I'm not going to wait for the phone to ring. Okay, anyway, today on our 100th episode, all right, stay tuned. At the end of this, we have a giveaway. Not really. Anyhow, what we're going to talk about today is volunteers. Volunteers. How can I recruit volunteers? How can I find people to serve in places, in leadership, in my church? I hear it all the time, Mr. Halleck.
Yep.
I can't find people to volunteer. This is an article by Chuck Peters, and we're going to look at 5 ways that you can, and this can help you find volunteers. By the way, this came out of a survey by Lifeway. 77% of pastors say developing volunteers is a main issue they need to address. And it is really hard to find ministry leaders.
That's significant.
It is.
Yep.
And really, yesterday's methods of trying to attract and engage volunteers do not work.
Well, would you say that in the past, maybe even 20, 30 years ago, maybe 40, whatever, there was almost an expectation in the church that if you were a member of a church, you would volunteer in some way.
It was total expectation.
And now, it's amazing. You'll have people in a church, they're faithful maybe to come to worship.
But the
thought of serving isn't even on their radar.
No, it's not even on their radar. No.
And so today we're talking about how do we change that culture in our churches. And so let's start with number one, okay? Number one is stop leading with need and obligation.
And this is the number one way I hear pastors recruit volunteers. And you know how I often hear it? I hear it on this way. We need workers in the nursery. We don't have enough workers in the nursery. If you could volunteer, we really need some workers in the nursery. Mm-hmm. We need workers with children. That whole thing of we need and that obligation. And, you know, you're a member here. You should serve. Guilt. I love this. This is such a good sentence that he writes. Guilt is no longer an effective means of recruitment. It was never an appropriate means of recruitment.
Yep.
All right?
Yep. Well, let me say something about this because, you know, your folks, you're faithful, sweet people. They love you. And for a while, they will do this for a while. They'll do it out of obligation. Some
will.
But you know what? They're not going to come alive.
No.
They're not going to come alive. They're going to do it out of duty and obligation. This is where good leadership says, and we're going to get to some of this, is we don't want you to do this because we just need you to or you have to do it. We want to get you in a slot where you are using the gifts God has given you, the passions you have, And that's when people come alive. So you lead with need and obligation and guilt. Well, guess what, man? You're not going to get the kind of caliber of leader that's passionate that you need and that ministry needs.
Yeah, and it doesn't work anymore. I mean, for millennials, for Gen Z.
It'll actually turn them off.
It will turn them off.
Yep.
Now, for an older generation, they were sort of used to doing things out of obligation.
That's right. We do it. We want to be faithful.
We want to be faithful. That's what we do.
Yep.
And, you know, boy, if the church needs me, I'll be there.
Yep.
That doesn't work anymore. Yep. And as I said, it never really worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
People who did it didn't do it for the joy of the Lord.
Right.
They did it because they felt guilty if they didn't do it.
That's right.
Yeah. I have some close friends who will volunteer for everything. Mm. And I will ask them, and I have in a recent conversation, why did you agree to do that? Well, somebody had to. Well, that's not a reason.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That is not a reason. Yeah, yeah. Did the Lord tell you to do that?
Yeah,
are you
glorifying
him?
Yeah.
Are you growing spiritually?
Mm.
Or is it actually going to have the opposite results?
Yeah, yeah.
So no longer can you just say, boy, we need nursery workers.
Yeah.
We need someone to serve on the finance committee.
Yeah.
We need people to serve us. No.
Yeah, yeah, you're not going to get the leaders you need. And that leads to number two. So don't do that. Instead, here's what we would say number two, is communicate a clear and compelling why.
Oh, that is
Why should
good.
We do this? It's so important.
So if you want to have preschool workers, why don't you, for a few Sundays, have some great photos of the preschoolers in worship and during worship and doing their thing during an extended session or whatever they do during worship. Have some great photos of that and show them up on the screen.
Yep.
And for a few Sundays, just talk about what an amazing ministry it is to children, that even kids 2 and 3 years old can understand that the church is a place where they're loved. It's a place they want to come to.
Yes.
It's a place of joy. It's a place of happiness. It may be the first place they hear about Jesus. They hear about God. It's transforming in their life. You can remind the church that much of a kid's personality is fully developed before he's 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
What a great time. And and show pictures of the workers you have now. How thankful we are for Mary and for Carl and for Betty and how they serve. And maybe bring them up and pray for them and thank them. Do that for a few weeks.
Yes, yes.
All right? And then you're beginning to communicate a clear and compelling why we need children's workers.
Yep, yep. I love that idea of have a few of those volunteers come up and share why do they do this?
Yes.
What do they love about it?
Right.
You know, if you're talking youth ministry, have a few teenagers actually come up and talk about the impact that folks in the church are having in their lives.
Or if it's even something like the finance committee, find someone who really finds meaning in that and let them share and say, you know, I really enjoy being able to use my gifts of finance and business to help the church. I learned so much about it. I learned how to pray about it.
Yep.
And all those things. And then you'll find you're really creating a compelling why we should do this.
This is why, if you have not done a short, like mini series in a while on spiritual gifts and casting vision for that for your church and helping people see that as pastors, we're called to equip the saints for the work of ministry.
Right.
That every believer is gifted for ministry.
Right.
Pastor, you got to cast some vision. You got to passionately paint a picture of what the church looks like when everybody's in ministry using their gifts together in unity. And that's exciting, and that brings new life to your church. And so again, you're leading with the why. Why do we do this? Ultimately, we do it for the glory of God. We're gifted for it, and there are real needs that do need to be met joyfully.
And Kyle will put this in the show notes, this whole document, so you can have it. But listen to what our writer says here. This is so good, guys. Listen up. People today are indeed busier than ever. Every decision to say yes means they have to say no to something else. It's not that people are unwilling to serve. Oh, this is so good. They want to know their service makes a measurable difference. They need assurance that something meaningful will be manifest because of their investment of time and energy. Man, it is so important that you give them a declaration of missional purpose, why we need to do this, why it's important, what it will mean to you in your life, not that we just need someone on the finance team.
Yep.
We need someone in the nursery. We need someone to be a chaperone at the youth retreat.
Yep.
That is not it. You've got to communicate. That means, guys, there has to be a strategy. You can't just get up on Sunday morning and say, we need youth workers to chaperone.
Mm-hmm.
You got to back up a little bit and say, how do I communicate this well? How do we create an environment where people want to serve?
Yep.
How do we create an environment where people see serving as a joy?
Yes.
And, you know, I often said in a new church situation, as you're developing it, sometimes in an older church, you can't go necessarily back and engineer this. But I always said two and no more. I mean, every person in the church should have two jobs and no more.
Mm.
If you're a deacon and you serve in the nursery, no more. Mm-hmm. Don't have three. Don't have four. Mm-hmm.
Do those well.
Two
those,
and no more. And, well. And not only those two, but in those two, begin to develop someone around you that can take your place.
That's right.
Right? Too deep is what we say.
That's good.
All right.
I love that.
Number three.
Okay, number three, clarify expectations. Why is this so important?
Well, you say we need X, Y, and Z, and they have no real idea what that means.
Mm.
And then they get into it, and they feel like they failed because they didn't know what you wanted from them.
Yep.
And one of the reasons people won't accept the job is they don't know exactly what you expect out of them. For example, finance team, you need to be very clear. Unless there's something unusual, it's going to meet five times a year.
Right.
And those meetings will last about 2 hours each.
Yep.
You know, those, whatever it is, let them know. That gives them information. Otherwise, they don't know what they're getting into.
That's exactly right.
So be very clear about what it is that you're asking to do, what their expectations are. It's the responsibility of you as the pastor to clarify exactly what's expected from a volunteer.
Yeah.
Now, here's a good one. Do you have volunteer job descriptions?
Yes, yes.
That makes it so much easier.
For sure.
If you spend some time talking about being on the finance committee or serving on the house and grounds or serving with the youth or with the children or with the nursery, and you sort of create an environment over the last few weeks where you're talking about those things, then you have a small job description. What does it mean to serve in the nursery once a month?
Yep.
What's it mean to serve on the finance? And say, we have job descriptions. You may want to take these home, pray over them, look at them. That kind of information really helps them make a decision.
Well, and it helps them, one, here's why it's not only clarifying for them, but now you're on the same page to celebrate wins when those things are actually lived out.
Right.
It also provides accountability because volunteers do need accountability.
They do.
But if there's no clear expectations, if I'm a volunteer, I'm going, well, hey, man, you never even told me that was the expectation, you know? And so it's not good leadership. And so we want to be clear, again, not just for the accountability that needs to be there, but also to say, man, see what God's doing in this? You know, you signed up for this, and look at the fruit we're seeing because of your faithfulness.
And volunteers who buy into the why, not just the need, but the why, are more deeply invested, and they simply will stay longer and serve longer.
That's right.
And you'll have to replace them less often.
Far less.
Number three.
Yep, number four, actually.
Oh,
number
I'm sorry.
Four.
Yeah, sorry.
That's right.
Number four.
No, it's good. Well, and this, they flow right together. Number four is give them an in and an out, which the way we talk about that at Calvary is create easy on-ramps and off-ramps.
Okay, what does that look like?
Well, what I think what that means is if I'm a new person or or maybe I've been in the church but I haven't been involved, we need to make it really clear how to get connected and how to get involved. So in terms of serving, if I'm sitting there going, man, I feel like God's doing this in response to this sermon, you know, I think I'd really love to volunteer with the kiddos. If it's not clear what the pathway is, then I'm just going to keep sitting there and going, well, I don't know what to do with that. Does that make sense?
Right. And one of the things we've done, even at Linwood, a small church where we are, we'll say, hey, we're looking, we'll talk about the need for children's I just said the need. We'll talk about the opportunity for children's ministry and all that. We'll say, hey, how about we have four fifth Sundays a month. Would you be willing to, for this 1 year, take those four fifth Sundays and let's see how you feel about it and how it works in your life? And if it doesn't, then that's all we'll do. That's a wonderful easy on-ramp and easy off-ramp. Or you say, you know what? We need chaperones for a youth retreat.
Yep.
So it's just two nights and three days.
Yep.
Just the one time. Just see how that would be. Find them some short-term volunteer positions with a clear start date and a clear end date.
Yes.
And they'll be more likely to try that out.
That's right.
Than to just indefinitely be a youth sponsor from now on.
Clear exit ramps or off ramps are so important for that reason. It's two-way. One is if it's not working for them, they need to see there's a way out.
Right.
Otherwise, here's what happens. They'll either get frustrated or they'll just ghost you and go to another. I mean,
they'll leave the church.
They'll just leave the church over.
That's right.
It also allows you as a leader to have an off-ramp if it's not working. And you can say, hey, man, we've given this a shot. It's been great. Let's try something else. You know, let's see through this and then let's do something else. So it protects you. It's good for them. It's good for the church.
Right.
All right. Number five kind of all leads to this. Make it personal.
Man. I mean, again, our writer says the practice of enlisting volunteers by making announcements to the entire congregation from the platform or a bulletin insert, it's just ineffective.
Yeah.
Let me ask you to do something, guys, and maybe this is wrong. I've been wrong before.
Rarely.
Don't. Yeah, it's true. Don't do either one of those things. Do not ask for volunteers on Sunday morning, and do not put it in the bulletin. Why? Well, first of all, it sort of sends a message that things aren't going well, that if I'm new and I have children and I'm visiting and I realize, and you say, we don't have near enough children's workers, I'm thinking, well, this may not be the church for me because I care about my kids and my youth. So if they don't have enough workers, that's a warning sign. Why don't advertise that. Secondly, mainly, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
If it worked, we wouldn't be having this podcast.
Right.
If all it took to get volunteers was for you to announce it or put it in the bulletin, we're done.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. It has to be personal.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be personal.
Yeah.
When asks are made to the masses, this is so important, everyone assumes somebody else is going to respond.
Yeah, every time.
Every time.
Every time.
Every time.
That's right. And this is the power of, again, and if you're not real comfortable with this, Pastor, ask the Lord to give you some boldness and courage.
Lean into the awkwardness.
Lean into the awkward, baby. Lean into it. Because there's nothing more powerful than sitting across the table over coffee with someone and looking at them and saying, listen, the Lord has gifted you. And I've been watching you, and I love your heart, and I'm so glad you're at this church. And man, we want to get you plugged into ministry. And what's God doing in you? What do you feel called? Listen, that's how you get them in the game. It's that. It's not an insert or a mass announcement. Go after them individually.
That's right. And as you're discipling people and you see God doing thing in their life, affirm that in their life.
Yes.
And say, look,
yes.
I think the next thing for you would be to see if God would use you in this area for a short time. I think you have the giftedness to do that. And don't, by all means, guys, don't be manipulative.
Right.
I mean,
right,
if you don't think they have the giftedness,
but
you've got to have a volunteer,
yeah.
Man, don't be doing that.
Yeah.
That'll hurt people.
That'll come back to bite you.
It'll crush people.
Yeah.
I'm saying part of your job, you know, I was with Richard Blackaby recently. And, oh, man, God love him. This guy came up to Richard and he said, because Richard was talking about volunteers. And Richard said, I've never had a struggle having people volunteer any church I've served. Well, that offended some people, okay? It just did. Rather than going, oh, I'm so grateful that he had such a good ministry, thankfully, it was like, well, I bet you have. You're just not being honest.
Yeah, you're lying. Yeah.
So this guy came up to me and goes, well, Richard, I've been at this church for over 20 years, and I can't get anybody to do anything. I can't get any volunteers. We've tried everything we can do. My wife and I do it all, and no one does anything. And Richard said, how long have you been there? He said, I've been there 20 years. Richard said, well, that's your fault. It's your job to get volunteers. It's nobody else's job. Hmm. Did Jesus make you the under-shepherd of this church? Your job is to lead people to Christ, disciple them, shape them, model them into followers of Jesus that serve Jesus. If that's not happening, that's nobody's fault but yours. Hello. Now, here's what he said. He was real quick to say, but brother, I want you to know something. That's a learned behavior.
Hmm.
I can't teach you calling. I can't teach you character, but I can teach you how you can develop leaders.
Wow.
And so apparently no one has taught you how to do that. And we can teach you. You can learn how to. And Richard is right. You can learn how to ask people. You can learn how to be in their life.
Yep.
You can learn how to engage them.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't do that by simply saying, well, you're not responding. I'm telling you we need leaders and nobody's volunteering. That is not – you have
no.
not
–
you have to raise up – you have to invest in people's lives.
Yep.
You have to spend time in their home. You have to go hunting with them, fishing with them, and share the gospel with them and help them grow spiritually.
Yeah.
That's your job, to raise up the next generation
of
leaders.
That's right. You know, and I would say this. If this is an area where you're not as strong in terms of, you know, casting vision and mobilizing people to use their gifts, find a mentor. Find somebody, a pastor in your area or maybe a friend somewhere who's doing this well that you can learn from and just pick their brain and take notes. There's some great books out there.
Please.
I mean, I just think, you know, like Clifton said, man, we can grow in this. Praise God.
Yes, we can. This is an area where you can learn to do this task, all right?
Mm.
But you can't learn to do it if you just resent that nobody's volunteering.
Right.
And when you look at that other guy's church and you see all those people volunteering, it's not because his people are necessarily different than your people. It's that he's asking in a different way.
Mm.
And I agree with my brother here, man. Mm. If you go hang out with that pastor and say, Pastor, I've seen how you are able to engage volunteers. Would you give me some time and teach me how to do that? If that pastor tells you no, call me, give me his number, and I'll call him, and I'll have a talk with him. Because I guarantee you, every pastor I know would say, I'd be glad to share
that
with you, brother.
They would love it. That's right.
But it's your job to ask for the help. Okay, Kyle, you're going to put these in the show notes. These are some great insights from Chuck Peters. All of us need to know how to encourage, equip, and find volunteers in our church. Thank you for listening to Revitalize and Replant.
The 100th episode.
The 100th episode. The old 100. We should end by singing the old 100. You know what that is?
You
the
solo
the
it.
Doxology.
Hey, you want to do it?
I think it's copyrighted.
Oh. Okay.
No, it's not copyrighted. Go ahead. You're a singer.
Let's all go. Here we go.
Kyle's a singer.
Okay, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Come on, Kyle.
Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Come on.
That was pretty good.
Good job.
That's right. You can pick up the CD at your local Christian bookstore. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.